98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo talk with the decision maker from the Coyotes front office. Now.
Coyotes back on home ice tonight, taking on the Chicago Blackhawks. The game starts at 7 o'clock. You'll hear it on ESPN 620. And joining us right now as part of our Decision Makers series with the Arizona Coyotes, the general manager of the Coyotes, Bill Armstrong, joining us here on the 72 Sold Sportsline. Bill, how are you? Happy New Year. Thanks for the time as always. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. Really appreciate it.
Bill, let's just talk with the crazy schedule. You guys have had five games postponed. You played once since December 17th. What's it like for a general manager with your coaching staff to try to keep the guys ready, to try to keep the guys focused, to try to keep the guys, you know, in tune with what's going on when you've played one game since December 17th?
Yeah. It's a little frustrating because we were pretty much as a team. We had some COVID cases, but we were still eligible to play. And just the other teams that we were playing, we couldn't. We went out for a five-day road trip, played one game, and just, you know, the problem is you look into the future, and then those games are going to come back to haunt you because they're going to pack them into our schedule at some point in time, and we're going to have to play them. So, you know, but the good news of it was we got a little rest around Christmas and holidays, and that was the good news. You know, we got re-energized. Coaches got some practice time with the players, and, you know, now we can go back at it, and I think we're a little bit refreshed, all of us, and hopefully this COVID will burn off, and we'll be able to continue the season.
Yeah, I hope so. But you did get guys back, right? Christian Fisher and O'Brien and Ilya Labushkin and Boyd. So you were able to get some reinforcements back for that last game against Winnipeg.
Yeah, we were able to get some of our guys back, and you know we've got some nagging injuries and. You know, that have, you know, kind of trickled into our team, which happens. The unfortunate part, we've lost pretty much Hutton, Yaskin, Timmins, and now Beagle just had surgery today on a lower body injury. You know, those guys are out long term. So we've been banged up that way. But at the same time, you know, we've also had some ability to put some young guys in the lineup, like Yanis Moser just jumped in there for us, and he's done a real nice job.
Really good job. Yeah,
you know, he's a surprise. You know, we drafted him last year in the draft, and usually it takes 2 to 3 years for those guys to play, and he was able to jump right in and be an impact player for us. So it's been great to have him come into the lineup.
Coyotes GM Bill Armstrong, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show. I want to ask you about the player that you claimed, Riley Nash, in just a moment. But I'm just going back for a second on the games that were missed and the mechanism in which the league and you guys are going to make those games up. Have you guys gotten any kind of indication how? Now, I'm not looking for the exact schedule, but obviously it's a bunch of games, and you're going to have to wedge those in somehow. You've got that Olympic break coming up. How exactly is this going to work? Have you heard?
I have absolutely no idea. I would hate to. I would really hate to have that job because you're. You know, you're going to try and jam in some games, you know, for all teams and, you know, around the Olympic break. And it's going to be hard to schedule that, but they're going to try and get the games in, and hopefully it doesn't push back the season too long because they want to get the season to end at a certain point in time so they can start the playoffs. And then that runs into the draft. So they kind of want to stick to that guideline. So, and I know the Canadian teams have had a tough time playing because they haven't been able to have fans, which means no revenue. So it's been a tough go for the league with COVID, for sure.
Yeah, you claimed 32-year-old Riley Nash off waivers today. About an hour before our show started, we got word that it happened. Tell me why, and tell me what Riley brings to the team.
Well, we've been banged up down the middle, so he's a veteran NHL player that, first of all, he's a solid NHL player. He can kind of play from your first line all the way down to your fourth line. Really good on faceoffs and really good on the PK. He's also a leader. We like that. One of our management personnel, John Ferguson, had him in Boston and just loved what he brought to the table. So we're going to bring him in here, and he's going to get a great chance to move into our lineup and just give us some more veteran presence. You know, with Beagle out for us, he was a huge part of our team. Nash can kind of go in there and assume his spot.
You know, you look at that game against Winnipeg and just so many shots. Vemelka was fantastic, his first start since December 11th. But, you know, just giving up a lot of shots. I think he gave up 20 shots in that third period, 48, 49 shots overall. What are some of the things you're trying to do to take a little bit of pressure off of your goaltending?
Well, I think we got to do a better job, you know, like you said, just making sure that they don't get that second shot or get that A1 grade eight opportunity down the middle. And I think that for us, that's been kind of on our strength probably in the last 10 games, minus the Winnipeg game, is not giving up too many quality shots. So I think we got to get back at it tonight, and it'll be a good test against Chicago there. They like the offense, so it'll be a good matchup for us tonight.
Gostisbehere with another point. He's second to Keller on the team. He's got 22 points. That was a little sneaky get by you in getting him from Philly. I mean, he's a good quality offensive defenseman. I would imagine some teams may actually call for him at the trade deadline, but give me your thoughts on how well he's played for you.
Well, he has. He's been great on our power play, and he's generated a lot of offense for our club. I think he was rejuvenated just coming here, getting, you know, he'd been with the Flyers. He only been with one team, and, you know, I think it was just coming into a new situation, a fresh situation with new coaches that surrounded him, and he's really embraced it and really jumped in and did a great job for us, you know, in all the games this year. And I like his game. It's grown. He's not only competes on the D side of the puck, but he's been able to jump in and create some offense. So he's been a big piece of our team. And, you know, he's got another year with us too. So we're not that anxious at this point to move him. The coaching staff might shoot me if I did.
Based on the age, the talent level, and especially that contract, I imagine you're going to get a lot of calls on Jacob Chychrun. Just your thoughts. I mean, is he a guy to build around? Is he a guy that wants to be here? Is he a guy that you could parlay into, you know, three players and maybe another good draft pick? I mean, listen, I think all Coyote fans understand the direction you're bringing this team. It's the right direction. Yeah. You've loaded up on first and second round picks, and I do think you're going to build this team into a contender very quickly with your draft history as being a great drafter. But give me your thoughts on Chychrun and maybe his future.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting because it's come up a lot. And you know, to be honest with everybody, there's been talks. As soon as you say, okay, we're going to rebuild, the phone starts ringing with other teams about your best players. And obviously, he's one of our best players. So I've tried to be upfront and honest with Jacob and his agent and just, you know, hey, listen, the phone's ringing, teams are requesting. I have to do my job as a GM and listen to all the offers. If there's something on the table that we can't refuse, that's going to put this club in the right direction with some impact players, I certainly have to listen, and I'm upfront with all the players and the fans about that. I've got to do my job as a GM and listen to what other teams have to say and what they can offer.
Does being upfront about it with Jacob in his representation, does that make it easier for everybody? Is there anything that's ever easy about something like this for you or a player or an agent, right? Because I imagine it's a very complicated, tricky thing, but it sounds like you're being pretty straightforward with everybody about it.
Yeah, I usually open the conversation with there's been a lot of calls about you, and you'd want it that way. That means you're a good player. If nobody was calling, that means you're a bad player. So a lot of teams are calling, that means you're a good player. And that's usually how I start the conversation, which is true. And Jacob's been a trooper in there and played his hardest. And he knows that I have to do my job, and he's got to go on the ice and do his job. So he's been certainly a great professional about it on his side. And I think that's the best way. Listen, we're in the era that you're not hiding much, you know, because of Twitter and the Gambo show. Everything's out there, you know. Everything's out there. I mean, I think Gambo knows what I have to eat at night sometimes, you know.
Oh.
So he's got his people everywhere, you know.
You found that hidden camera, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, the real estate agent, when they sold you the house, I had the ins with him. So we had a couple kidding. Okay, give me with the World Junior Hockey Tournament canceled with all the players that tested positive for COVID-19. Just give me the thoughts on that, how that may affect you.
Well, it was disappointing, number one, for all the teams and countries that invested a lot of money in their teams to get over there. And for it to end that way, the cases went up in Canada, and Canada has it's really a different outlook. And I'm not saying who's wrong or right, but if you live in Arizona or if you live in, you know, Alberta, Canada, it's two different worlds on how they deal with COVID. And, I'm not a doctor, so I don't get involved in that, but I can just tell you from the kids' point of view and the players' point of view, it was sad for them, just on that end. And I think the NHL has done a great job being upfront about, you know, the way that they're looking and managing COVID. They're not trying to stop it. They're trying to manage it. And when somebody does, they've got new testing protocols in there that allows it to be safe. And it's not 14, it's not 10 days. Now it's 5. which help the teams operate in a way that they can we can put a good quality club on the ice every night. So I'm not so sure that some of the tournaments in the past or they've planned have kind of had that testing procedure. So it was canceled. It was very disappointing for us going in there to do our scouting, number one. We've got a lot of picks. It's a nice level to see those kids play at. Right. We were able to kind of do that, but not fully. It's really nice to see the top players under tremendous pressure when there's 17,000 people, you know, in the building and they're on, you know, all the TV in the world and the NHL network and the game's on the line. You really see what they're made of. And unfortunately, we don't get to see them at this point with that. So that's a little bit disappointing on our end.
Bill, as always, we appreciate the time. Good luck tonight against Chicago and good luck trying to figure out how all those missed games are going to get made up. I'm sure it's going to be a mess, but I'm sure the league will sort through it as best they can. We appreciate
a round robin tournament. Let's just do a just little 3-day tournament where you get all the games in. Maybe you play three games in one day and we short in the games a little bit.
Sure.
A little 10 minutes each period. We could get them in no time. I got it figured out.
And then
if you can get that past the union, then you would be the next commissioner of the NHL.
Can't be any worse than the guy you got.
You put
that's
that
why
one.
I love you. You never hold back.
You put that one on a tee for him, Bill. You put that one on a tee for him.
Yeah.
And you hit it right out of the park. Thanks, Bill. We appreciate it.
All right. Take care, guys.
You
bye-bye.
Got it.
Thanks.
Bill Armstrong joining us. 72 Sold Sportsline. Get your price at 72sold.com. Coyotes and the Blackhawks tonight coming up at 7 o'clock. You'll hear it on ESPN 620. Dating back to training camp, Kyler has always emphasized that his legs are a luxury, that he's going to throw the ball first. That's what he's about. How luxurious has his ability to run been, especially lately? You might be surprised, and we'll tell you why next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station, Burns and Gambo.
So tooling around on Twitter this morning, getting ready for the show, and Field Yates from ESPN tweets out this video of him and Matthew Berry, and it's a fantasy football show, and I promise you, it's not, I don't care about fantasy football, especially now since my team has been long since eliminated from the playoffs. Oh, yeah, they got bounced. Matthew Stafford's my quarterback. That's all I
have. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I know. It was terrible. It was just terrible.
Do you lose points if he throws a pick six?
I believe you do, yes. I think in our league you do. That costs you points if he throws an interception. And if he throws a pick six, I think it really costs you points. So that's neither here nor there. I only bring it up because I wanted to tell everyone where I got it from. Full disclosure, it was a discussion about fantasy football. But I thought there was a real world application to what Field Yates pointed out about Kyler Murray. And I hadn't thought of it this way. And I don't know if this means anything. And I'm curious to hear if you think it means anything. Four of Kyler's best rushing games of the season have come in the five games since he got back from injury. Does that mean anything, good or bad, as it relates to the Cardinals and what they're doing offensively? Because they've lost three of them.
Four out of the five games.
Yeah, so of his five highest rushing games this year, four of the five have come since he came back from the ankle injury. He had 15.
I think we have to take, let's for a second, let's just take each game individually, because I think it's hard to quantify it when you're just looking at all the games as a whole.
Fair.
Against the Bears, they rushed the ball 35 times, only threw it 15. It was in the rain.
Yep.
So they had to run the ball more against Chicago. Now, coming off the bye week, but you didn't have the Hopkins. Hopkins was back in that game, but it was raining and they had 50 plays and they ran it 35 times. So he was part of that.
Yes.
But you didn't have Chase. You did have, but Connor ran it 20 times and then, you know, Kyler ran it 11. So he did run it 11 times. Maybe that was the weather as a major factor in not having Chase.
Okay. All right.
The Rams game would be the next game. They lost that game. Kyler had like the most yards that he ever had in a single game, 444 yards. He didn't have any touchdowns. He had the interception on second and goal that the Rams turned into a touchdown. He had another interception. So I don't think he was throwing the ball well in that game with those two picks. Aaron Donald had 14 pressures, and I think part of those runs came with trying to get the hell away from Aaron Donald.
Fair.
Aaron Donald was the NFC Defensive Player of the Week. He had 14 pressures in the damn game.
And just to clarify here, okay, so against the Bears, Kyler ran it 10 times for 59 yards. Against the Rams, he ran it 7 times for 61 yards. But that was the game that Kyler Murray, yeah, he had 383 yards passing. His completion percentage wasn't awful, but it wasn't great either. But yeah, he had to run for his life quite a bit in that game because he was under a ton of pressure. Okay.
Okay, the Lions game.
Now that's the game he only ran for 3 yards. So that's the
right
one
where they were down 17-0 at the half.
Yep.
They got blown out. They had to throw the ball. Chase was back for that game, but they were a complete no-show against the Lions, and he didn't run he threw for 250. He threw the ball 41 times. So he didn't run in that game, and the reason he didn't run is because it was 17-0 before we blinked.
Yeah.
Now, the Colts game, you know, because I didn't have to work that week, you would know more about the Colts game than me because I only watched it without taking meticulous notes
okay
on it. So
I'll tell you
I'll
right
let
now,
you comment on the Colts game.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now. 4 rushes for 74 yards for Kyler Murray in that game. One of those rushes, I believe it was for 57 yards. It was the one that set up one of their early touchdowns. And he got out in open space and he accelerated past everybody. It was a beautiful run by Kyler Murray because it kind of proved to the world, hey, he's fine. He's not hurt. The ankle feels good. He obviously is feeling really spry because he got out in open space and he ran right by guys. But he only ran the ball 4 times. So one of them was obviously that, I think it was 57 yards. I'd have to go back and look for sure.
Okay.
The other 3 times he ran, it wasn't as effective, but it was
okay.
Still 74 yards. That was his season high. So that was the case with the Colts game. And then against Dallas,
No James Conner. He actually threw the ball a lot in that game. He threw the ball 38 times.
That was the
Dallas game. He threw it 38 times.
Fourth,
he did run at 9.
Tied for the 4th most that he's thrown it in a game this year, according
right
to my
so
numbers.
So they just had the ball a lot, right? They had possession a lot. They had that end of the game drive that
yep
we were raving about. But they ran the, you know, that end of game drive, he had a couple of runs in there. He had a 9-yard run to seal the deal. He had a 15-yard run in which he stayed in bounds. But without James Conner, there was more of a need for Kyler to take off and run the ball, in my opinion. So I think if we looked at each one individually, we can come up with a reason why he had to run or didn't run. Like the Lions game, he didn't run. They were down 17-0. They had to throw it. Chicago, the weather was really terrible. Against Dallas, you didn't have your featured back in James Conner. So I think, you know, we can, you know, and I think against the Rams, I think you were running for your life because Aaron Donald was in the backfield by the same time you said one Mississippi.
Yeah. Yeah. I looked at these numbers and I'm glad you kind of broke it down game by game like that to really look at what happened in each of those games. I think by and large, if you're going to tell me that the 4 best rushing games of Kyler's season have come in the last 5 games, I'm going to mostly take that as a positive because it tells me that Kyler Murray is healthy going into the playoffs, that he is feeling good enough that if he has to run, or good enough that if you have to bleed out the clock at the end of the game, that Kyler Murray can do that. Because this time a year ago, Kyler Murray was completely limited in that regard. He didn't have that if he wanted it. And that tells me that Kyler Murray is healthy. He's feeling spry. He can get out there and do it if he wants. I know he has said all along that is not his preferred method of how he's going to beat another team. And I was sort of curious to see if you thought the fact that he ran for so much during what's been kind of an awful stretch of football for him, if that means that maybe he shouldn't be running as much, you know, because it's not leading to team success. It's not leading to team wins. And I wasn't sure if there was a correlation there or not.
I think at the end of the day,
it's a sign for me that Kyler is healthy and it's better news than it is not good news, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I think I would take the positives over the negatives. What's the record in those 5 games? 3-2?
Two and three.
Okay. I think you just have to look at the factors. The weather in one game, not having James, not having Chase, that there was a need for him to run. But I like what you're saying. I mean, I think in some ways it shows that he is willing, able, and capable of running because he's healthy.
Yep. And that was kind of my number one takeaway from it, too. You can text us your thoughts on the Cardinals, the FanDuel text line. You can text us your thoughts on whatever you want when it comes to the Burns and Gambo show. On the FanDuel text line, you can text us at 620-620 anytime throughout the course of the show. 300,000 simulations for this weekend's slate of games. It's what Cynthia Freeland does at NFL.com and the NFL Network. It's what she does. She's very good at it. Yes, it is. What she found out might really surprise Cardinal fans going into the final weekend of the regular season. We'll tell you what she found out next on the Burns and Gambo show. Welcome back into the Burns and Gambo show on this Thursday afternoon. We're live from the Auction Community Studios here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Of course, the NFL weekend starts off on Saturday with two games. Some of them have some significance, in particular the Cowboys and the Eagles. And then, of course, on Sunday at about 2:30, that's when all of the games that really matter the most when it comes to the Cards and where they're going to end up in the playoffs. We know this. They're in. They're going to play a playoff game either next Saturday, Sunday, or maybe even on Monday Night Football. That's a new wrinkle we'll have to get used to, and we'll know on Monday. We'll know on Sunday night who it is that they're going to play and where it is that they're going to be and all of that. And we'll talk about what Cynthia Freeland had to project in just a second. We haven't really had a chance, though, to mention this, and I just want to pass this along. We don't have the injury report yet from today. But from Darren Urban's reporting at practice today, I can tell everybody that cornerback Marco Wilson was back working today at practice, according to Darren Urban.
Yeah, I'm hearing he's 50-50.
Okay.
That Breshad Breeland has looked very good, but they're really not sure about this week. It might be, but he can definitely help in the playoffs. So I do believe that Breshad Breeland is going to be on the playoff roster. I do think he is going to be there for the playoff game. Not sure about this week on him. I'm hearing Marco's 50-50. James Conner, I think, is a go for this week.
Really?
I think James Conner is going to be a go. I expect that he's going to be good to go. And I think Chase, from what I've heard, Chase is improving. I don't think they're going to rule him out. But if they don't play him, it's probably more to keep him fresh as one of those guys that you just don't want to take the risk of him getting injured in that game. And they might feel if they have James Conner back that they don't have to bring Chase back as well. So I think that Marco's 50-50. I think Breland's going to definitely play in the playoffs, but I'm not sure about this week. I do expect James Conner's going to play this week against Seattle.
Yeah, Chase Edmonds, according to Darren, was not practicing today. So that kind of speaks to the uncertainty about him that you mentioned just a second ago. Defensive lineman Zach Allen and defensive lineman Jordan Phillips were both working on the side. Everybody else was working today. So I would just the guys who missed yesterday are like the James Conners of the world. And of course, there's J.J. Watt, who according to another report I read, was also working on the side today. And the speculation, and this will be really something to watch next week. It won't happen this week, obviously. But starting on Monday, we are all going to be on J.J. Watt watch to see if he is going to be able to make it back for the playoff game. Maybe it's just I spend too much time on Twitter and social media, but man, there's been a lot of momentum on that site building towards this idea that J.J. Watt could be getting close to returning, and that is going to be a story to follow next week for sure.
I mean, listen, we from the get-go, you know, we reported that he's going to try to make it back for the playoffs. He's not going to shut it down. He was back in the gym, and he was working out, and he was training, and his goal is, I mean, there's an opportunity here. I mean, you're in the playoffs. There's a chance to win a Super Bowl, and if he can get back and contribute, right, even if he can only play, you know, 25% of the snaps, it could be a boost for them as part of a rotation if he can get back.
Yeah, and along those lines, when it comes to James Conner, and I don't know if you know the answer to this, this is just me speculating. If he's good to go and he plays, I got to imagine he's on a pitch count on Sunday. I got to imagine it's going to be somewhat limited reps and snaps and carries for him just to make sure he doesn't do anything to re-aggravate it going into the playoffs, I would have to think.
Yeah, I think he'll be good to go. And I would with Chase, I think it might be let's hold him back and just make sure he's ready and as close to 100% as we can get him for the playoff game. That's what my thought process is right now. We'll see tomorrow if there's any update from Cliff.
Okay, yeah, we'll see what he has to say tomorrow because Cliff won't meet with the media today. We mentioned Cynthia Freeland. She's the analytics expert over at NFL.com. She's on the NFL Network. We see her all the time. She makes appearances.
Yeah, Vince Murata's a big fan.
Vince Murata is a big fan of Cynthia Freeland, yes.
Big fan of her work.
She's a guest on their show all the time. So what she does is she runs the computer simulations, and she simulates game after game after game, and the computer tells her in the simulations, this happens 60% of the time. This happens 70% of the time. So based off of her 300,000 simulations that she ran for this weekend's game. Right?
Why do you have to run so many?
Just to give yourself the widest sample possible.
Like,
yeah, I mean, just, you know.
It's a good buffer zone, 300,000.
Look, I'm sure she's got a program that she can run 300,000 simulations in about 4 minutes.
It's like that guy with the truck and the tires are jacked up like 10 feet. And you're like, what? Dude, why? Like, why does it have to be so big?
Is that, you know what? The next time we have Cynthia on our show, I'm gonna ask her that. You know,
yeah.
Cynthia, you doing
why
it
so much?
300,000 times. It's kind of like the guy with the 10-foot-tall truck. I mean, really?
Yeah. He gets out the guy of the truck, and he's 5'4". Like, dude, what are you trying to say, man?
We want more. We want more.
Yeah.
Wow. You went there. Wasn't expecting that.
What?
No,
guy with the stepladder to get, you know.
Yeah. No, just you went there. 300.
200,000 not enough?
300,000.
Like if
it's the magic number for the simulations.
200,000 times. Yeah. Like, that would have been enough.
Can I tell everybody that her simulation had the Cardinals finish third in the NFC?
That's them winning and the 49ers winning.
Yes, that's exactly.
I agree. I agree with it.
I didn't need to run a simulation
300,000 times. I can just tell you, I think that the 49ers are going to beat the Rams, even though they don't have any defensive backs left on the team, and that the Cardinals are going to beat Seattle, and I think they'll end up with a home field game. I really do.
That's what she has as well. She's got, of course, we know the Packers are number one. She's got the Bucs as the 2 seed. She's got the Cardinals as a 3. Now, she says it's close, you know, 300,000 times, and the Cardinals beat the Seahawks only about 55% of the time, and the 49ers beat the Rams about 52% of the time. But based off of the fact that she ran these simulations 300,000 times, she's got the Cardinals at number 3. She's got the Cowboys at 4. She's got the Rams at 5. She's got the Niners at 6. She's got the Philadelphia Eagles at 7. So if she's right, and you're right, it
the
means
Cardinals
the Arizona
49ers.
Cardinals will be at home sometime next weekend against the San Francisco 49ers.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, I would take that too.
I mean, I'll take that. Garoppolo's got an injured thumb. Trey Lance has 2 starts under his belt. You've beaten him twice this year. I mean, the first game against them was a very close game. It was a hard fought, but 17-10, I think it was. I have to go back to my notes. But
you are correct. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. You know, it's hard to beat a team 3 times, the familiarity you have with them. But I like my chances there against the 49ers.
I do, too. You know, we had that conversation on Monday about what our kind of preferred outcome is in all of this. And we both agreed it would be the Cardinals as the 2, getting Philadelphia at the 7. I could very easily be convinced to change my answer to the 49ers. I know it's hard to beat a team 3 times in 1 season. I get that. I just think the state of the 49ers right now with their quarterback situation – I think they are extremely vulnerable to lose in the first round. Whereas the Eagles, they are running the ball very effectively. Their offense, I believe, is the top rushing offense in the National Football League, if I remember right. And even though
They play in such a bad division.
Oh, I know. And I don't think they're very good, but I've seen the 49ers up close and personal, and I'm pretty confident that they're really not that good of a football team.
The Eagles, man, they were 2-5. So you got to give them a lot of credit for turning this thing around. I mean, they were 2-5 right around Halloween, and they've come back and they won a lot of football games. But you got to look at who they beat. From 2-5 till now, the Eagles have beaten. You ready for this?
Yeah,
the Lions.
Me. Okay.
The Broncos.
Okay.
Saints. Jets. Washington. Giants. Washington.
Ugh.
Like they haven't beaten anybody.
Ugh.
Like they haven't beaten anybody that's any good. So they were 2-5 when they had to play, you know, decent football teams. And they lost to Tampa. They lost to the Raiders. They lost to the 49ers. They lost to the Cowboys. But since that time, they haven't beaten it. They were 2-5. They turned it around on the strength of a really, really weak schedule.
All right, so maybe on second thought, I want Philly.
Yeah, Philly's no good. I'm telling you, they're no good. They're not good.
Maybe on second thought, I want Philly. They're just there. It's the schedule. And you're right. When you play in the NFC East, it's
two against Washington, two against the Giants. They even got a game against the Jets in there. Like that, they didn't beat anybody. All the teams that they beat are bad. They lost to the Chargers. They lost to the Raiders. They lost to the Bucks. They lost to Dallas. They lost to San Francisco. They lost to Kansas City. Anytime they played a good team, they lost.
Yeah. Speaking of schedule, we both had it in our email. Did you see the Cardinals' schedule for next year? We know some of
it's
brutal. Some of it's we don't know all of it. All right, because we don't know whether the Cardinals are going to finish first in the division or second in the division. But from our friends over at RevengeOfTheBirds.com, I mean, obviously there's the conference opponents. The home games as it stands right now, the Saints, the Bucks, the Chiefs, the Chargers.
Okay, that's hard.
Oh, my God, that's brutal.
The Saints are not good.
No, but the Bucks, the Chiefs, and the Chargers? Oh, my goodness. The away games aren't as bad. The Falcons, the Panthers, the Broncos, and the Raiders.
Those aren't bad.
The games that are still up in the air, you're either going to get the Bills or the Patriots next year. So it's depending on how that division shapes out and how the Cardinals shake out in their own division, you're either going to get the Bills or the Patriots.
I think I'd prefer the Patriots.
Oh, I think I'd definitely prefer the Patriots. I don't know. And that's okay. I don't know if that's a home game or a road game. I'm not sure. You're either going to get the Cowboys or the Eagles, depending on whether the Cardinals finish first or second.
I'll take the Eagles, but as we've seen with the Cowboys, they're not that good.
And depending on whether the Cardinals finish first or second, you're either going to get the Packers or the Vikings or the Bears. It's the Packers,
the Bears,
or Vikings/Bears, one of the two.
Yeah,
can you imagine if they get the Bills and the Packers in addition to the Bucks and the Chiefs and the Chargers next year? My goodness.
I just hope a lot of those games are early. Cliff can win early games.
Oh boy, you're on
just
fire today.
Those games late.
You're on fire today.
The losing streak's going to come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're getting it done.
It's a tough schedule. Look, either way, it's a tough schedule.
No doubt.
It's a tougher schedule. They're probably not going to win 12 games next year.
And against that schedule, I know projecting ahead is hard to do, but that schedule does not look like a 12-win team right there. Barrett Jackson going to be celebrating 50 years as the world's great collector car auction. It returns to Westworld of Scottsdale on January 22nd through 30th. Head to the contest page at arizonasports.com for your complete details and your chance to win tickets. James Jones got a lot of flack for his draft decisions in his short time of general manager of the Suns. We know Cam Johnson has worked out really well. What about Jalen Smith? Does Jalen Smith's recent play validate the decision to draft him? We'll talk about it coming up. Burns and Gambo.
Suns Day, brought to you by Four Peaks Wow Wheat on the home of Phoenix Suns basketball. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Suns Day with Burns and Gambo.
That is Suns Day. Big home game tonight against the LA Clippers, a rematch of the Western Conference Finals. Admittedly, these two teams are going to look very, very different from when they met in the Western Conference Finals. No Paul George, no Kawhi Leonard. Not that Kawhi Leonard was available, but Paul George is out with an elbow injury. And, of course, for the Suns, they got Ayton back yesterday. They got JaVale McGee back yesterday. They got Jay Crowder back yesterday. But none of those guys are going to play tonight because of conditioning, Gambo. They're not quite in the shape ready to come back and play. So it's going to be kind of another skeleton crew for the Suns tonight when they take on the Clippers.
Well, listen, you try to win all these games, but as I said yesterday, the reality, and I think we're all realizing this, the January 6th game on a Thursday night against the Clippers in the grand scheme of things doesn't mean anything.
No.
Doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't mean I'm not going to watch it. Doesn't mean I'm not going to enjoy watching it. I mean, there's a nightly kind of entertainment that these games provide,
but if you're 100%,
if you're going to say what does it mean big picture, it doesn't mean.
But you don't live and die with the losses when you've got a team this good. When your team is this good, it's all about the playoffs, and you're not going to play. This isn't a 16 game season. Right? It's a long 82 game season, and you're not really worried about having to win these games in January. You're not going to rush anybody back to win a game against the Clippers on a Thursday night in January.
Yeah, no.
You're not going to do it.
You're not going to do it. Now,
listen, people don't want to hear it, but that's the truth. I mean, when you're a really good basketball team, the regular season doesn't mean very much.
No, but, it's funny. Yeah, you're right. You're 100% right. But when I'm watching that game tonight, and it's in the fourth quarter, and the Suns have a chance to you know, win the game and put it in that moment, I still get a lot of enjoyment out of watching them win a basketball game, even though I know big picture it means nothing. And they could lose tonight by 20, and it's not like we're going to come in here and take a blowtorch to the team tomorrow. We won't. But I'll enjoy it in the moment because I do enjoy watching them play very much, especially when they're winning.
I think, like, to me, can Jalen Smith continue to improve and make us – like, there are things that you watch the games for that may not factor in the outcome of the game as much. But, like, you know, like, we've had two really good games out of Jalen Smith against Boston and Charlotte. Like, can he keep that up? Yeah, I want to watch. I want to see. Play in the four, play in the five. Bismack Biyombo, you know, has been great since they got, like, I think you watch for stuff like that, and that's what we told. Look, what have we talked about the last couple of days? Bismack Biyombo's presence and Jalen Smith and how well he has played. You know, that's the things that we, you know, how good the Bigs play with Chris Paul.
Yep.
But the wins and the law, oh my God, they beat Charlotte. What a big win that was. No, it's not a big win.
Yeah, no.
It's not a big win. They beat Charlotte.
And we've talked about Cam Johnson and how he's played starting for Jay Crowder and what that might mean for the future. Those are the things we've talked about.
Right, we have.
We have talked a lot about Jalen Smith. And because in the games that he's played since all the guys went on the COVID list, he is shooting, and this is from our friends over at Bright Side of the Sun, he's shooting 56%. He's shooting 36% from threes on average per game in these five games. He's a plus nine per game in plus minus on the floor. He's adding blocks in there. He's rebounding the ball very well. In particular, a couple of games against the Hornets and the Thunder where he had double digits in rebounds. He has played very well. And James Jones, when he was on with us yesterday, talked about Jalen Smith and sort of what he's been able to do to validate this draft pick with the way he's played these last couple of weeks.
Been decisive. I think exposure and repetition at some point when you have players as talented as Jalen, the game slows down. And I think he understands that the role we ask him to fill is important to the team. And he cares about performing well. And our team as a whole we want all of our guys to do well. And so he's been great. His energy has been there. His recognition has been great. He's been finishing well in the paint. He's been mixing it up. He's made a couple threes, but I think he's been extremely effective when he gets to the paint. And that's either rolling or driving, crashing the offensive glass. He's just found a way to get into the middle of the paint and be effective. And that helps us, and that helps him grow his confidence because he's a good player, and he will be a good player in this league for a long time.
Let me ask you this question about Jalen Smith. He has been framed as sort of the one, for lack of a better word, failure of the James Jones administration when it comes to building this team, right? He was drafted. He hasn't played very much. They didn't pick up his option. Tyrese Halliburton, a player that you told us all along they had no interest in, has done very, very well so far at the early stages of his career. Does any of the way Jalen Smith has played these last couple of weeks validate his selection? Go, hey, you know what? On second thought, he wasn't a failure of the James Jones administration. He's actually a really good basketball player. Is there any of that going on here?
Yes, of course. Of course. I mean, the Cardinals with Isaiah Simmons last year, and the Cardinals with Zaven Collins now, the Suns with Jalen Smith. The reality is the Suns of the previous Suns teams, no matter who they drafted, those guys were forced to play, start. Marquese Chris hurt his career. That is, Dragan Bender hurt his career. Alex Len, all these players, the Suns would draft these guys and then they would play them. Like, they'd play them right away. For beginning of the first round, end of the first round, second round, those guys played because they had to, because they didn't have any talent. So they had to force those guys in. What James Jones wanted to do was build a team that, well, you didn't need to play your first round draft pick. So they drafted him, they liked him. And he said, you know, even though they didn't pick up the option, like, there's still a chance that they could keep him. There's a chance that he can contribute in the playoffs for them. But when you build a roster that's a good roster, you don't need to play that guy. You don't have to force that guy in. Now, you could say it's a failed draft pick. I always believe, in the end, it comes down to, is the guy going to get a second contract or not? I'm still a big believer in that. And if Jalen Smith walks away and go somewhere else, and the Suns get nothing for him, well, then you can look back at it and say, okay, that draft pick didn't work out because he didn't last more beyond his rookie contract.
Yeah, and that to be perfectly honest, could very well be the path that they're on with Jalen Smith, unless sometime before the trade deadline, they're able to use this two-week stretch in which he's played as kind of a showcase and trade him for something that can help them now.
Every guy that they gave up on, from Josh Jackson to Marquise Chris, Ty Jerome, all of those guys got other opportunities. Now, I didn't really take advantage of them very much, especially like Marquise and Josh Jackson and Dragan. Like a lot of but all of those guys got other opportunities. When, you know, when you're a first-round draft pick, if you show some potential, somebody's going to take a chance on you and say, okay, I'm going to give that guy an opportunity to play. I mean, those previous guys have had plenty of opportunities. Jalen Smith's playing in the NBA next year based on what he's done in these last couple of games.
Yeah.
And based on the fact that he was a first-round pick, somebody's going to have Jalen Smith. And when he plays well, even just a couple of games, it gives some general manager the belief that he can help their team.
Yep. And all I'm saying is before he has a chance to walk and you end up with nothing for that draft pick, you might want to give some thought, some serious thought if you're the Suns, to trading him before the deadline when you can get something of value for him before he walks.
Depending on what the value is, because there's also value in the insurance policy. There's also value in what if one of your bigs does go down. Now, maybe by getting Biyombo,
yep,
you can afford
You took the words right out of my mouth.
You can afford to get rid of Jalen Smith because you don't need a lot of insurance policies.
Yep. Now that you know Biyombo is going to be here the rest of the year, and that's the report that's come down that Biyombo is going to be here the rest of the year, that might have given you that freedom to do exactly what you're talking about. Now the door is open if you want to trade Jalen Smith to get you something else that can help you now because you have a lot of insurance policies at that big man position.
Right. Or you don't need too many insurance policies.
Yeah, I don't know. Just a thought, just something to consider. We'll see how Jalen Smith plays tonight, but it does appear as if this draft pick is going to work out well for the Suns one way or another. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, Russell Wilson may have just shut down any and all speculation about his future in Seattle. What about Pete? And really, what about Russ? Is there still speculation? We'll go to Seattle and find out next on the Burns and Gambo show.